CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. And happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, Friday. Turdy says it's Friday.
Remix. Turdy says it's Friday, and so does the calendar. It's a beautiful day. We made it to the weekend, the holiday weekend.
I know. This feels so good. Feels so good, everyone.
Feels so good. And also, Claude, a little fun fact about you and I today is that we are both wearing Rails.
Oh, Meg, you're wearing Rails too?
Yeah, my sweater is Rails.
Well, it's a little chilly in New York. It's raining 2 days in a row. It feels personal.
That's sweet.
No, it feels personal. Theo got groomed yesterday. The second his grooming was over, rain.
Oh, they're coming for Theo.
It feels personal. It feels targeted.
Isn't it always? Isn't someone always targeting you, Turdy?
Actually, yeah. And we're gonna get into that later in the show about me being targeted.
Yeah, Turdy's under attack.
I'm under attack.
Today's headline: Turd under attack.
Literally. You want to know why? Ever since I kind of became the Turdy, people are so jealous of me. Oh my God. They're obsessed. And everyone wants to be the Turd, but they're all irrelevant uglies. And I am the actual Turd.
The one, the only Turd.
I did a Q&A yesterday and someone was like, have you ever thought about getting your gums fixed? And like, I think they were trolling me because like, don't get me wrong. I have a laundry list of insecurities. My gums are not one of them. And like, I think maybe she was trying to create an insecurity for me, but it didn't work because I have like, to say what you want. Maybe I got a little bit buck teeth. I got fangs. I don't have gum issues, bitch.
No, that's always crazy when people like say something and it's like, oh, I literally have been in this body for 30 years and I never realized that that was wrong with me.
No, but it's actually like there's fact and reality, and the reality and the facts are I don't have gum problems. I have a million other issues. I had moles. You know, I've got a back problem. I've struggled with my weight my whole life. My gums ain't one of my issues.
Yeah. Or are they? Let me see them.
Bitch. Okay, ready? Smile.
I've never thought you to be particularly gummy.
If anything, you know, it's been a really long time since I've gotten lip filler. And actually in the last like week when I've been looking at the podcast or just pictures of myself, I'm like, damn, I need to get my lips filled. So maybe like this girl was just like seeing the come down of my lips.
Maybe.
That's what I was thinking.
I love when you get lip filler. I think it's really important.
I love getting lip filler too. I just don't like the first couple of days when you're really swollen, like you feel like that's how it's going to be forever. And I just don't like, I look like a little crazy the first week and then it really settles and does a nice job because I don't do a lot. But that first couple of days, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? And like, I know it's going to go down.
So turdy. Even when you get a haircut and a trim.
It's so turdy.
What did
I do?
It's so turdy. It's change that she can't stand.
It's so true. You just read me to filth. You read me like a book.
No, not to filth. I just read you.
Yeah. No. Like a book.
Speaking of books, I finally finished that fucking book I've been reading for 3 weeks, The Marriage Portrait, which Dana recommended, which is actually like on a list and it's very buzzy. So I just want to let you guys know, like if you're seeing it and you're thinking it's something you should read, like if you usually identify with my taste, don't do it. Oh my God. It like was so, Claudia, like I can't think of a book you would hate more. It was so descriptive. There would be whole pages that didn't have like a paragraph indentation. Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
ooh.
Not a quote.
Nary nothing. A break.
Like
Nary
they're a describing break. Lucrezia's dreams. And it's not as if the dreams are germane to the story. Like it was not my favorite. 2.5 stars from me. Looking forward to moving on.
I'm so glad you got over that hump. And it wasn't even hump day.
Yeah. And I kept pushing forward. You're like, Jax, why did you read it? Like, you know, you could have given up at week one. I kept pushing forward because Dana said, like, I trust Dana, truly. But then it turns out she said, one, you could give up now because the whole book is kind of the same. It doesn't get, like, much different or better. She was like, two, I only recommended it to you because, like, this is your beat. And I, like, read something historical royalty, so I thought you would like it.
So what you're saying is that Dana can't be trusted.
What I'm saying is that I just, next time she recommends something to me, I'm going to say, why are you recommending this book to me?
Yeah.
What is the reason? Because you think I would like it or because you liked it?
What was the reason?
Yeah.
What was the reason?
So I'm feeling good about that. And I'm feeling
I know why you're feeling good, because yesterday's episode inspired you to actually book a staycation, right?
It did. I'm going on a staycation this weekend and I'm so excited. Like, not only am I excited for the staycation, but this excitement that in the days leading up now that I've had, just like talking about going to the beach with my boys and like, I'm really so excited. I didn't realize how much I needed like a little vacation, a little reprieve.
Sometimes and just to staycation, switch it up. And you live in Florida. Like a staycation, it's like not sad, you know?
No, a staycation in Florida is like a real vacation.
Right.
Except it's literally going to be like a 5-minute staycation, but still, right. I'll take what I can get.
I'm happy for you. I love that journey for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm jealous if in the name of honesty.
Turdy should be there. I think like you would really love it.
Turdy should be there.
We are going to the beach. We'll go to dinner. I'm excited.
And like the fact that I'm missing, like I've been there for so many of Harry's firsts and I'm missing Harry's first time at the beach. It's disgusting. It's anti-neglect is what it is.
And it's Bruno's first time at the beach.
Bruno deserves the world.
He does.
He's such a good brother.
It's crazy.
And he's really kind of taken, you know, he used to be in the driver's seat, you know, mommy and daddy's number one boy. Now he's in the passenger seat and he's taken it with stride. I think a lot of other dogs might have had like pride issue. Not Bruno. He knows his place.
No, but he takes it out on Theo.
Yeah.
Because he says, listen, I will always be number two to the little boy. I understand he has needs. But Theo, do not touch my mommy without me there.
It's so true.
He's human after all.
What can we do? Like our boys just love us so much.
And it's like, it's overwhelming.
It is. It's overwhelming to be loved so dearly.
Dearly, dearly.
Dearly, clearly. The way Turd has taken on a life of its own. I was looking yesterday when I was in LA. I did like these little cute content video shoots with Dear Media.
I saw.
And they've slowly started to post them over the last couple of weeks. And the most recent one went up like yesterday or the day before on their Instagram. The comments, oh, Turd. We love our Turd, McTurdia. Like, it is insane. And even in my Q&A yesterday, someone was like, let's be real. Like, just be honest with us. Do you dislike, like, being known by Turd? And I'm like, no, it really is a term of endearment. I would be honest if something bothered me.
Yeah, you would be. I feel like, I don't know if I could handle being called, like, the Turd all the time. Mm-hmm. But it is, like, a really cute name when you think about it.
No, and like when I see somebody DM me like, hey, Turd, I don't automatically think, hey, feces. Like, I don't. Do you know what I mean? What?
It's just like the snitch. Like, she's not a snitch, but she is the snitch.
Right. So I'm loving it. Just wanted to unburden myself. And speaking of, we had a episode drop yesterday. Jackie and I, for those who remember our Unburden Yourselves segment here at The Toast, used to be a weekly segment. Didn't really work for The Daily Show, but we started to do it in monthly installments on Patreon.
Read your segment, be like, oh, that sucks, and move on. Like, now we can really go
dive deep
on every submission, and it's so fun.
And it was, like, 2 days before Dear Toasters, and it was, like, a little too similar to Dear Toasters.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't right, but, like, the segment itself really was a fabulous idea. So it's up on our Patreon now. It was, like, a monthly thing, and we did a video and audio episode, and it was fabulous. And I made a joke at the end that I thought was so funny. I made Ben watch it. Like, my smile joke, you know, like, smile.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it by saying, okay, like, the
give
punchline.
Me more context. Like, what were you talking about? Smile.
Like, this girl in the front row, smile.
Oh, my God, so funny. Oh, my God,
I got
funny.
Home. I literally was like, Ben was like, how was your day? I'm like, I made a joke that was so funny. And I made him listen to it and he cackled too. I was like really proud of my joke, you know?
Yeah, and I was proud of the script that I developed for a romantic comedy.
Inspired by one of our submissions.
Inspired by one of our submissions. Like, I need to see this movie. I'm waiting for James Cameron to call me because I have like a laundry list of things to tell him, and I will
add it to the list.
I'll be adding that to the list.
Love that for you.
Starring Turdy. Or maybe starring me.
Yeah, put yourself first, Jax. It's your film.
Yeah, like maybe I could be the writer and director, kind of like Kelsey Ballerini.
Jackie, I was about to use that segue as well. Jackie and I both this morning watched Kelsey Ballerini's short film. We're going to talk about that because she's in the news. SNL, Travis Kelsey.
Yeah, that's what spurred me watching it because I wanted to talk about how she's going to be on SNL. But it's like, if I haven't listened to the music, like, what am I going to say? And so many people in our comments have been like, you guys have to see this. And I feel like it really has this like grassroots
movement
because I haven't seen, I mean, I check the news every day. I haven't really seen like a lot of any headlines about it. And I'm sure if you search her on Google, they come up, but like they weren't on like homepages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even the video, the short film on YouTube, like doesn't have a million views yet. Like I feel like it's gaining steam. It's giving kind of like Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, like very, like the consumers are going to make this.
Yeah, because if moment. You like listen to it, it's just like really good quality, you know? It's an EP that feels like a real EP.
It was extremely well done. So we're going to talk about it in our story about Kelsey. It's kind of like the year of Kelsey. She's been like everywhere.
Yeah. And she'll be on SNL. So let's get into the stories.
Yeah.
We can start off with that one. I'll move some things around. We'll start off with that without further ado. Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before the holiday weekend, you guys.
And today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way that you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, it can be kind of overwhelming. A lot of people don't know where to start. BetterHelp is a really great place to start. It is convenient, it's flexible, it's affordable, and it's all done entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I think a lot of people who are in therapy will tell you it's super normal to like shop around for a therapist before you find one that's right for you, because you really need to match with them on like a compatibility level. And BetterHelp makes it super easy. It's not awkward. You don't have to go to like waiting rooms. It's also really affordable. Again, it's all done online. So you can call, you can video, you can text with your therapist whenever you need them. And it's just a really great, it's a great resource for a lot of people. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/toast to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/toast, betterhelp.com/TOAST. There's really never been a better time to start taking care of you. It's like, you know, Leslie Mann said in This Is 40. Oh, no, not This Is 40. The other woman. Brain Camp. You know, you go to the gym for your body, go to therapy for your brain. Start taking care of you today. Today's episode is also brought to you by Stamps.com. 2023 is underway. Do not wait any longer to level up your small business and set yourself up for success. Get ahead of the competition by using Stamps.com to mail and ship. Just a quick shout out to Stamps.com. We've been using them for many, many years. They've been a sponsor of our show for many, many years. They are a fabulous brand because they ensure that everything is easy, because life is so hard. And Stamps.com agrees that it shouldn't be that way. So whether you run a small business, you have a lot of shipping needs, just do everything from your at-home computer, print shipping labels. You can also get discounts from USPS and UPS from Stamps.com. It's just like literally a no-brainer. I don't know why anyone wouldn't. So you can set your business up for success when you get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST. No, I'm kidding. It's code TOAST, TOAST. I have to stop doing that.
I know, but it's really hard.
It's literally impossible.
Are you ready for our first story?
Yes.
SNL has announced 3 weeks of SNL lineups. February 25th, Woody Harrelson and Jack White. March 4th, Travis Kelsey and Kelsey Ballerini. And then March 11th, Jenna Ortega and the 1975. So, of course, we're very hyper-focused on the Kelsey of it all.
Even though the third one is huge, because like Jenna Ortega is having this moment, and of course the 1975 is like huge. Yeah,
that'll be a big one too.
Yeah.
But Travis Kelsey is the man of the week. And he's hosting SNL, which is like kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy, because he's not the Manning brothers have done it. J.J. Watt has done it. People have done it, but I feel like they're usually quarterbacks. I don't know if JJ Watt's a quarterback.
Yeah, no, he's not.
But like, I don't know. I feel like the stars of the football like teams are always the quarterbacks. Like we always know the quarterbacks' names.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he has that personality. Like he's really, he's always had this personality. I feel like because of the Super Bowl and the Kelce Bowl, like he's someone that we're kind of fixating on. He kind of reminds me of Gronk, like in
terms
of like.
Yeah.
And, but he just is goofy. That guy. Like he doesn't have to put on. And I wonder if the Eagles had won, like if Jason would be getting these opportunities.
So that was my thought as well. Like when I saw that he was announced, my initial reaction was like, oh, great. And then I was like, wait, what about Jason? And I'm sure that Jason will be in a sketch and I'm sure he'll be there with the mom too. Like I know it really will be a family affair because they're like, you know, brothers who support brothers. Mm. But I did think like, oh, well, it's because he lost. Even though like Travis is just more of like a forward facing celebrity. I know, but like I feel we like knew him before.
If Travis lost, he wouldn't be doing. Not that like it's like, oh, you lost, you can't do it. But it's like because he won, he's like on the tour and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was on Jimmy Fallon last night.
Yeah. So I wonder how things would have played out if Jason had won. It literally doesn't matter. I think Travis will be great. I'm glad that he's getting his shine. You know, he's clearly not afraid of the spotlight. He did his show.
Yeah.
And I think this is really sweet. And the world gets to continue its obsession with the Kelce brethren. And by the world, I mean us.
Can I say something that might be like a hot take?
Sure.
I think a lot of this like overexposure to Travis Kelce for me is like, it's giving me a little bit of like the ick.
How do you feel overexposed?
Like, it's just like a lot. And I feel like he's loving it and like leaning in like a little too much. I can't explain it. It's just like with Jason, it feels so like authentic. And with like Travis, it feels like a little forced. I can't explain it. I have no reason. And I can't explain it further.
But like aside from Fallon and SNL, like what has he done that Jason hasn't? They just do the podcast and they played in the game.
No, like if you look at his social media, I feel like he's like playing on like the Kelce Bowl like a little more. He's like leaning in a lot.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, but the day of the Super Bowl posting like a montage of like childhood photos of him and his brother, which I'm sure was really genuine and sweet. I don't know, something about it. Am I the only one? I'm just like, all right, like it's a lot, you know, like, and I want more Jason.
I want more Jason, but also like Travis is a lot. And like he's sure. always been this way. So now he has this like huge spotlight and it's like, it's only going to be more than that.
No, I know, but like, you know, even, and I talked about this after the Super Bowl, like his post-game interview, he was just like talking over everyone and the dancing, like he's just starting to like kind of be a lot for me.
You were feeling that way.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the right amount for who he is and this moment for him, I feel.
Yeah, I know that they will, but I really do hope they include, you know, the other brother and Jason and the parents, like, and I know they will because it really hasn't even been about Travis. It's been about the Kelces.
Yeah, and they are hosting March 4th, so I think that gives enough time for Kylie to have her baby. I don't think she's had her baby yet, or if she has, like, she just had it and they haven't announced it. So I think Jason could maybe make the trip up to New York. Like, it's not that
right,
far.
Right, it's Philly.
Yeah.
It's Philly.
It could be done.
It could be done.
And then also exciting news, Kelce Ballerini will be the musical guest that night because she just put out her EP, Rolling Up the Welcome Mat, accompanied with a short film that's like one long music video for every song on the EP. I think it's like 6 songs. And it's all about her divorce from Morgan Evans. All about.
So first off, like I think a lot of people are shipping Travis Kelce and Kelce Ballerini. But it is worth noting when she posted on Instagram announcing that she's doing SNL, Chase Stokes commented. So I think her and Chase are like very much
they're
still together.
So they are spoken for.
So like, I agree. Like I would literally live for it. But I also feel like, I don't know, Travis Kelce's having this moment. I don't think he wants to be bogged down.
I don't think they're each other's types.
I would agree with that too. So to the album. I was really, first of all, like I was kind of quaking because Kelce really didn't say much about the divorce publicly or in her most recent album, Heart First, which is amazing.
Subject to Change.
Morgan did. Oh, sorry. Subject to Change. Yeah. Heart First is the single. But Morgan did. Morgan had performed a song at like a show in Australia and people really responded to it. So he recorded it like the live version and put it out. It's called Over For You. And it's actually a really good song. I've been listening to it and I enjoy it. And basically the message of his song is, how long has it been over for you? Like, I would have done anything for you, took a flight through the night to be that shoulder for you. And like, you just didn't want me.
That shoulder for you.
Like, his song is very much giving like victim energy.
Yeah.
So,
and also energy of like, I was not the one who chose this.
Yes.
This was chosen for me.
Right. And I loved you more than anything. And I would have done anything for you. And you didn't want it. So when she opens with the song that says, "That's when it was over for me," it's clearly like a direct response. Yes. I was kind of quaking. I was like, oh, damn.
There was a lot of direct response marketing in.
Oh, I mean, you got half.
If anybody had a question, he got half.
And I just want to say, like, the absolute disdain in her eyes when she said that, like, agreed. Like, taking money from a woman? Ew.
Yeah.
It was really well done. I think, like, it wasn't very difficult to read. She was, like, being very honest. It wasn't, like, subliminal messaging. Like, it was very direct and clear what happened. And she does corroborate, like, she was the one who left. But it wasn't because of no reason. Like, there was a laundry list of things, and that's what she saying about, and it's clear that like she really struggles with it, and maybe she even like feels guilty that she left, but like she was so unhappy. And sorry.
Yeah. So no, continue your thought and then I'll give all mine.
So the takeaway for me was that like he was very much like traditional and almost in a way resented her career. I had assumed like he resented her career because like he wanted the same type of one. But what she was saying is like, because he was very traditional and wanted like, you know, make me a plate and let's have kids and white picket fence. And her career was one of the things in the way of stopping her from doing that. And that's why he resented her career, not out of jealousy, even though like he's also a country artist. So I don't know how any human being could not.
Oh, I didn't get as much of the career resenting stuff. Like, yes, he wanted her to.
Why? When they were playing Monopoly and she got the career card.
And he wanted her to make him a plate. And it's like, she's busy. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, a plate once in a while, like, can be made. And, you know, she's, like, holding all the dishes. So it was reminding me, actually, of Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah, of course.
What was it? Housewife?
Breadwinner.
Like really kind of the same message, and it's kind of the same story. And so most of the album is about like her feelings and how she felt in their marriage and how she lost herself and how she felt alone and how she felt like she was pretending and how, you know, the love fizzled. They grew apart, yeah, all this stuff. And so I feel like that was really honest. I feel like a lot of people could relate to that feeling. But my overall takeaway was that there's no tea in this divorce. Like,
no, yeah, except that he got half.
Oh, yeah. But like in terms of how, like what happened, yeah, between them, like nothing happened. These are two people who got married young, who grew apart, and who also, which happens to couples all the time.
A lot of people.
But like when you live with someone, when you're in it every day and it's the same thing every single day, like you either, things actually either get like really bad or you work on it. Mm-hmm. But when two people are constantly traveling and then like the thing that binds them, like it just keeps getting weaker. It's like, and they don't have kids. It's like, why would we stay married? Like we're both unhappy. And I think both of them were not ever going to like prioritize making their marriage work over their careers. Cause they're both extremely talented and they're having success. So like, why are we going to come home to be miserable in Nashville when like there's things to be done out there in the world? And also as they see the world, like they're getting a taste of what could be. And it's like, why am I going again to my penthouse to like go play pretend with my husband who we don't have that much in common anymore? And neither of us are really invested in finding commonality.
And I think that's really why, like the lack of tea, I think that's why it's gaining so much traction from people, is because like most divorces are not these like knockdown, drag out, you cheated. Like there's not like, sometimes people really do just grow apart, and that makes it even harder to explain to your friends and family like what's going on. So I think a lot of people are like really relating to this because it's very normal. It's not, you know, celebrity, like what happened? No, it's just like, you're right. Two people who got married really young who grew apart.
Yeah. And who don't have really any reason to stay together. Because, you know, usually it would be kids or something. And then also kids complicate things. Then you have alimony, custody issues.
So it's easier to stay together sometimes.
Yeah, but also it also makes a divorce more
tricky.
Tricky. I don't think this is a tricky divorce. I think she's just saying how she feels. When I finished watching this, I wasn't like, oh, Morgan, you have something to answer for. No, he was just upstairs playing his guitar and like not really emotionally vibing with his wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I also do wonder if Kelsey would have ever like released this if he hadn't, like he started it, you know, like he released the song first.
Yeah. I feel like no, she did say in the interlude, like, you know, it's like, it's very much like the industry to blame the woman. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like until that song where he was like being victim-y that there was any misunderstanding or narrative going around about what happened that was putting the blame on her, you know? I mean, we had our theory that, like, you know, she's bigger, that's weird. It was actually not even as interesting as that.
Well, so I'm just, like, really intrigued by, you know, many years ago, a lot of the, like, big up-and-coming female country artists all got married in the same year. And they were all married to people significantly less popular than them in terms of fame.
But country artists as well.
But country artists as well. So there was Rustin Kelly and Kelsey and Casey Musgraves, who are since divorced. It was Morgan Evans and Kelsey Ballerini, who are since divorced. And the last one standing is Maren Morris and Ryan Hurd. And they have a baby and they seem to be doing really well.
And of course, I don't get those vibes from them. Like, I feel like with Kelsey and Casey, it was always like they're not physically together.
No, they were always showing up to, like, these major career milestones by themselves.
Yeah, like, Ryan Hurd is really always with Maren.
Always with Maren. And they do songs together, and he always shows up to support her, and she always shows up to support him. And that's what another key takeaway from the short film was, like, you really never know what's going on in a marriage. But from what I see of Ryan and Maren, they seem to be really happy.
Yeah. And so, I thought it was really well done. I think the songs are beautiful. I look forward to listening to them without. And I feel like if I listened to them without watching the video, I wouldn't have heard everything, you know, because you get distracted. But I was, like, laser focused. I was like, she said this, he did that.
Yeah.
This is what happened. So I'm glad that she put out a whole video. And I think it was a really cool way to drop an album. I don't think anyone's ever done a whole album as a short film. Correct me if I'm wrong. At least not one that I've seen.
Not a short film, like Beyonce's Drop visual. Lemonade,
but it was all the music videos.
Yeah, it's like a visual album.
Yeah, but this is like
one YouTube video, 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too. I wasn't expecting it. I honestly thought she wasn't going to talk about it really that much, but he definitely started it.
I guess so, but yeah. I just don't want everyone to, like, go and give him hate now, because
I don't think that's what she wants either.
No, but that's what the internet does, you know?
I know.
Remember, like, Olivia Rodrigo, like, where's Joshua Bassett? Is he okay?
Oh my God, have you not heard?
No.
So remember, he came out as queer.
Yeah.
Then, like, a week ago, he, like, had been kind of silent on social media, and he came back and was like, I have found Christ. I feel so happy and good. And then his church released video footage of him getting baptized. And I think a lot of people were deeply moved by it. Then it turned out, like, the church is like a conversion therapy church. People don't know what's going on with Joshua Bassett and if he's okay. He released a statement being like, I didn't know that they did conversion. I don't know. But there's a lot going on with Joshua.
To further my point.
Right.
Like, we can.
No, I think about that a lot.
We can take, like, one person's experience and support them and how they're feeling. And it doesn't mean we have to dump on another.
The unintended consequences of, like, the songwriting. And I think a lot of people do it because I think they see people being really successful at it, like Olivia Rodrigo, like Taylor Swift. They make it really clear who they're talking about. And they don't think about the vitriol that gets sent that person's way. I mean, Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
And she's a queen and she handled the whole thing with such class and elegance. And she's really having a moment now. Her music is so good. But, like, justice for her. And you know what? Like, a little bit of responsibility on Olivia Rodrigo for not encouraging people to stop.
Yes. But I will also say that when Olivia Rodrigo put out that song, she never thought people would care in the way that they do.
No, of course
it was just
not.
Like a young girl, like, writing her truth and
her diary.
You know, it's not like she could have ever foreseen that sort of backlash.
No, of course. But she could have like done something.
Yeah. Especially since, like, she said, like, he didn't cheat on her. He just, like, they broke up and then he started dating someone else. Like, it was extremely.
And she was upset.
It was extremely kosher.
She was upset.
Yeah. So you're allowed to write about your feelings. Our
shot. Of course. No, but that's, like, the culture now. It's, like, the mob.
The mob. And, like, it's, like,
figuring it out.
Calm down.
Everyone, seriously, needs to get a fucking life.
Like, just because something is good and we want to support someone doesn't mean that there's, like, an equal and opposite bad person that needs to be attacked.
I mean, Selena and Haley.
Selena and Haley. I don't even know what that TikTok drama is.
I could tell you because it's literally irrelevant and it's a good segue into our next story, which I think is about Selena, right?
It will be now because you're just moving my stories around today.
So organic we are.
So organic.
So the Selena and Haley thing is Selena had posted a TikTok or something just talking about actually, you know what? I don't even remember what it was. But like, people were like coming for Selena for something. Like, I think it was her appearance. And then totally separate, Hailey Bieber made a TikTok with her friends to that sound. I'm like botching the recap of this. I just can't remember. Just give me a second.
Okay.
I don't want to like, you know, start something I can't finish.
I understand, Turdy. That's not like you.
Okay. So Selena got body shamed after wearing, Selena got body shamed after wearing a bikini on vacation. And then like a few days later, Kendall, Justine Skye, and Hailey Bieber posted a TikTok on Hailey Bieber's page to that sound. And I'm not saying she deserved it, but God's timing is always right. Which is just like a really popular sound. I don't think that like Hailey Bieber's like keeping up on what the backlash to Selena is of the day. And everyone, and then somebody, you know, a fan account was like, how could Hailey post this? And Selena commented on that.
Yeah, victim-y.
Victim-y, like, I don't let stuff like this get me down. Like, thank you guys. And honestly, just kind of fanning the flames. Like, I think Selena was wrong for that.
Yeah, she is wrong
for that. And I love my queen.
She is wrong for that. It's very Morgan Evans.
Victim mentality.
Okay, got it. So nothing burger, thank you.
Nothing burger.
But something burger. Selena Gomez is opening up about gaining weight due to her lupus medication. She says, I'm not a model and I never will be. In a clip from a recent TikTok live stream that's since been shared on Twitter, the 30-year-old singer and actress told fans that her taking the medication for lupus often causes her to gain weight and vice versa. When I'm taking it, I tend to hold a lot of water weight, and that happens very normally. When I'm off of it, I tend to lose weight. I just wanted to say and encourage anyone out there who feels any sort of shame for exactly what they're going through, and no one knows the real story. But I just want people to know that you're beautiful and you're wonderful. Yeah, we have days where maybe we feel like shit, but I would rather be healthy and take care of myself. My medications are important, and I believe that that's what helps me. She said, I'm not a model, never will be, and I think they're awesome, mind you. I'm just definitely not that. I just wanted to tell you I love you guys, and thanks for supporting me and understanding. And if not, go away, because honestly, I don't believe in shaming people for their bodies or anything. So what she's saying is, Who says you're not perfect? Who says you're not worth it? Who says you're the only one who's hurting? Trust me, that's the price of beauty. Who says you're not pretty? Who says you're not beautiful? Who says?
Consistent queen. Like she's been saying it.
She's been saying it. She will be saying it. I also appreciate her just slaying it out there.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I think this is like the third time, like this year, she's had to just acknowledge the fact that she looks different. And I just don't really understand what it is with people on the internet. I'm not even just saying like as it pertains to Selena, just like in general. We are obsessed with people's weight. Like, it is so weird and it's so illusory. Like, why?
I don't know. I think for certain people, like it's just, you know, certain people you're just obsessed with. So you just care about everything about them.
I know. But like even with celebrities, like celebrities are entitled to like keep parts of themselves to themselves. So like the fact that Selena has to get on here and explain like, oh, I'm a little puffier because I have to take this medication. Like keep that to yourself. Like you look beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
It's so moronic.
Yeah, but I'm glad she's not letting it like take her down. I feel like all of that could be so damaging enough to make you want to stop taking the medication because it's like.
Right, right.
So she's keeping on in her journey and she's blocking out the haters. I have mad respect for that.
I do too. And just like being really direct.
Yeah, direct to consumer.
Even though she doesn't owe people that. Like that's my point. You know, like I appreciate the directness, but I'm like annoyed that she even had to be that direct.
That's what we were saying when she was after the Golden Globes being like, I really like what she said. Like on the one hand, it makes me happy the way that she's approached it. But on the other hand, it makes me sad that she had to approach it. Okay, our next story is actually some really sad news. Bruce Willis's family announced his diagnosis. They say it's a relief to finally have a clear diagnosis of his condition. In a Thursday statement, the actor's wife, his ex, Demi Moore, and his daughters all posted an update about Bruce's health on Instagram alongside a photo of him smiling on a beach. They announced that his diagnosis is that he has frontotemporal dementia, which is quote, painful for Bruce's family, but it is finally relief to have a clear diagnosis. Earlier in the statement, the women said that since March, they announced the aphasia diagnosis, but the condition has progressed since then, and now they have an answer in the form of FTD.
So sad. I feel like we just reported, like, a few, maybe like a year ago now,
yeah,
that he had been, like, struggling with his health. I think maybe it was Parkinson's or cancer or...
No, aphasia.
Aphasia. And it's just like a laundry list. It's so sad. It's also dementia is like such... I mean, all diseases are terrible, but like dementia is a really, really hard one.
Yeah.
To like see someone you love just like wither away mentally. It's so sad.
Yeah. Which is, I think, been really hard for his loved ones, but they're all like speaking out together mm-hmm. and have each other. And I think they've really... They only announced this yesterday, but have been really overwhelmed by all of the support. He's such a beloved actor and person in mm-hmm. Hollywood, like I think by people in the industry and also his fans, yeah. that there would obviously be nothing but support for him, but it's just really sad.
It is so sad. And like, I feel like he's known for, like, you know, his action movies and being like a big, strong guy. And like, this is so, you know, the antithesis of that. So like, we should all just remember him as that guy, because I don't know if the public will ever see him again, but I'm sure he looks so different.
He's retired now.
Yeah.
He retired last year because the diagnosis means that he has issues with his communication and is not able to work. But they're hoping that sharing this news will help others raise awareness about important issues that people might be yeah. suffering in public or in private.
It's so sad, honestly. Like, not that it's like a competition, but there's really no worse disease than dementia.
Yeah. It's just really hard for the loved ones.
Right, right. It's always hard to see, like, someone you love going through an illness, but, like, there's something different about dementia. Like, it's so, like, you're, like, the person you love most in this world is, like, forgetting who you are.
Yeah. They're just, and they're not there, but they're there.
Right. They're physically there, but they're not even at all mentally there. It's really difficult.
Yeah. So that was really sad news from yesterday.
That is sad. A great legacy he leaves behind.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our next story? You seem like you have something to say.
I do. Thank you so much for noticing my shift in body language. I am ready for the next story. If it is the story that's brought to you by Legacy Box, is that perchance what's going on
here?
You
know what? Legacy Box is a perfect sponsor for this next story.
Think of the time and money your family has invested in capturing family vacations, football games, birthdays, your wedding. Recording a lifetime of memories was a commitment, and camcorders cost thousands of dollars. Those tapes were expensive. Cameras required film. So Legacy Box exists to preserve your family's recorded moments digitally and ensure that they're safe forever. So Legacy Box is the easiest and safest way to preserve your family memories. Legacy Box is the best way to preserve your past. It is simple. It is safe. They have thought of everything. It is a mail-in solution for converting your memories to DVD, a thumb drive, the cloud. They're bringing your memories to the 21st century. Over a million families, ours included, have done Legacy Box. All of their... all of your memories are going to be personally digitized in the USA. If you've got it, they can digitize it. So they can do VHS tapes, but maybe you're a little bit older. You got a Super 8 film reel. Whatever you got, they're going to make your memories shareable. Legacy Box is by far the company I get the most DMs about, being like, what was the Legacy Box code? So make sure to use the code. You can send it in when you're ready. You don't have to do it immediately, but you owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Don't let your photos continue to fade. Don't become your family's hero and save them before it's too late. Buy a Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/toast to shop this exclusive offer. That's legacybox.com/toast. Legacybox.com/TOAST. Thank you, Legacy Box, for sponsoring Friday's episode.
Legacy Box is a perfect sponsor. For our next story, because it's all about Paris Hilton. She's on the cover of Harper's Bazaar this month, and she is dropping the act, as the headline says. So it's her memoirs coming out this month.
Oh, right.
She just had her baby boy, and she is giving her real self. Her real self is giving an interview to Harper's Bazaar. Obviously, over the years, it's been well documented, and she's acknowledged, you know, there's the Paris
persona,
public Paris and private Paris. And I think over the past few years, those walls are really coming down for her. It started with her documentary and just like opening up a piece of herself that she never thought she would. And then the response from all of that has just been, I think, really validating for her and garnering her the respect that she's always deserved in the industry. Mm-hmm. So she is talking about life now, life then, her journey, and it was a really great interview, and I'm like so fucking excited to read her book.
Yeah, no, I also love that she just owns the fact that like very much like her front forward facing persona is not her. And I think a lot of people, like, because we're so critical of celebrities, you'd be like, she's so inauthentic. But like, I think the fact that she like owns that this is very much like a character she plays makes her so authentic.
Yeah. So there's one part of the interview that was so funny. She talked about how she like sings her son lullabies. She mm-hmm. likes to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, as well as Stars Are Blind. But she clarified the acoustic version.
Of course. Of course. She's so iconic. And I cannot wait. I'm dying to know what her baby's name is.
Maximilian.
It's not.
Maximilian Hilton Room.
Maximilian is like far too normal of a name.
But her, I know, I guess her name is unique.
Yeah.
And her family names, they're not like names that they invented. I guess Nicole is pretty.
Yeah, Nikki's pretty regular.
Regular. But like Baron, Connor.
Yeah. Conrad.
Conrad. Maximilian.
They kind of go old school too. They're a little all over the place.
Yeah, they take it back.
Yeah, but Paris is like so different. Like, how could she not have been famous with a name like that?
And her husband's name is Carter.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, like some celebrity baby names, it's like Rihanna's. I could never guess it if I tried.
Yeah.
And I feel like Paris and Carter's like is attainable.
I know. I feel like it's right in front of us
too. It exists.
What is it?
I don't know. That's one that like I'm excited to find out. Some celebrities like I'm really okay if you never tell me your baby name. I had even made peace with Kylie's baby.
What's the name?
Air.
Oh yeah. I literally forgot.
But no, so in the interview, she's stripped down Paris, mom Paris, you know, real deep voice Paris. And mm-hmm. I wonder now if she's going to stay this way. Like, I don't know if this was just she took the mask off for the interview. There was something in the interview that just like gave me the vibe that it's like a new era for her where we will be consistently getting the real Paris, because I feel like she feels as though the world finally deserves it. I think
finally understand her.
Back in 2005, like the way that they spoke about her, cited like the Sarah Silverman jokes that were made and like the David Letterman when he made her like cry during an interview. Like, why would she ever have given a piece of herself over to the world? But I think since the response to her documentary, she feels seen and heard and like open to the idea of just being herself. But like, it's also her business is to be that girly girl. So
I know.
I don't know if she could ever really let her go, and or should she, or even if she should.
But also maybe it's just something she doesn't want to keep up. Like now that she's a mom, like your whole perspective changes, and like maybe she wants to be like the real Paris.
Like she's still gonna DJ and you know, how do you be like, you know, like an open, authentic DJ? You just like play a part.
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
So I feel like she'll go in and out, but I think this is heralding an era where we will get more of the real Paris. Like I would love to see more of the real her, like on her Instagram, you know, like just like popping on so stories, curated. Being like, hey guys, baby Maximilian didn't sleep last night.
Right.
Feeling authentic tired.
Paris. Yeah.
Feeling tired.
Hashtag tired.
So anyways, it's a really great interview. Photos are gorgeous. And the magazines,
I want to see the baby.
The magazines are having a moment this month. Yeah. I had to like check my calendar. I was like, is it September? Because they're bringing out the big guns.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of killing it.
And who's on the cover of American Vogue this month?
I don't know.
Let's find out. American Vogue.
Has it come out yet? Maybe not.
Erykah Badu, the second coming of Erykah Badu.
I think it's Badu.
Badu, sorry.
It's definitely like a moment for print.
It's a moment for print. I love that for them.
Me
we
too.
Love the
I mean,
publishing
they
industry.
They haven't had a moment in many years. Print is dying.
Not since the Knot, September 2017.
Amen, sis. My edition.
Oh my God! Speaking of, today's my anniversary. I already knew that. I'm not remembering right now. Zach and I were like, we were talking about it this morning in bed. We were like,
four years, baby. Yes, sleep together.
We sleep together. Actually, Harry slept with us for a little last night, which never happens. Oh. It was so special. Mommy's neck is extra broken, but it was worth it.
How did he fall asleep?
So he woke up at 4:30, and that's like unusual for him. And he just like did not want to. He didn't have a poop. We checked everything. He just like didn't want to go back to sleep in his crib. So he kept falling asleep, and I would put him in his crib sleeping, And like a zombie, he starts crawling to stand.
He was craving his mama.
He was craving his mama. So eventually, after like 2 hours of like this, that, I helped him fall asleep. And then I just brought him into my bed so that he would never like, you know, get signal to that he was in the crib.
That is so heavenly. That's my dream.
It was really, really sweet. A great way to celebrate the anniversary.
100%.
It was really cute.
I would love that.
Yeah. So happy anniversary to me. Four years strong.
Wow, that is so long.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But you've been married like 20 years.
Yeah, at 75.
When did you get married? 2017.
September will be my sixth.
Okay.
It's like 5 and a half, I guess.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Being married is pretty cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend.
Speaking of someone who was married, our fifth and final story is a little familial drama that makes me sad. Mm. But Priscilla Presley and Riley Keough are not talking amid the battle over Lisa Marie's estate.
Oh, no.
It has been a very tense.
Wait. Priscilla is Elvis's ex-wife.
Yes.
Lisa was the daughter. Riley is Lisa's daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted
and
to double check.
As we stated, Lisa Marie's will was being contested by Priscilla because, you know, there was some forlorn business manager. But the way it shook out was that Riley was the sole executor.
Right.
Because her brother has passed. It was meant to be Riley and Benjamin. So Priscilla, they're now not talking about it. Because we said it's weird that she's contesting like Riley's role. Like
it's
that's
her granddaughter.
Just like, yeah, that's just not harmonious. It's a little acrimonious. Right. So we didn't know what was going on. But now apparently it's been a very tense and heartbreaking few weeks for Riley Keough and Priscilla Presley amid their battle over Lisa Marie's estate. An insider close to the family told Entertainment Tonight that the grandmother and granddaughter duo are no longer on speaking terms due to Priscilla's decision to contest her daughter's will.
Damn.
Riley has been mourning the loss of her mother and is heartbroken to have to deal with a trust dispute with a family member. Priscilla is adamant that she has a valid case and that she will prevail in court. Riley and Priscilla aren't communicating at this time, but have been in communication through lawyers.
Yikes, that's so sad.
So sad. And I understand like both women's sides, you know, because if Priscilla feels like...
I understand
like,
Riley's more.
I understand. That's what I was going to say. I understand Riley's more. But I do understand Priscilla's if she feels as though, like, her daughter's will is not her intent. And because there was that, like, shady business manager, maybe there is something, you know, weird that happened. But at the end of the day, it just makes Riley the executor. Like, it's not...
Right.
That's not that bad.
Right. I've been seeing Riley a lot because they've started to promote the trailer and the song for Daisy Jones and the Six. And I have to say, everything I've seen, I'm extremely unimpressed.
No,
And I didn't even like the book, so.
I liked the book, and I think the show, like, doesn't look good. I probably won't watch it because even the trailer, like, I can't believe I liked the book. This looks like a book I wouldn't like.
I think everyone was miscast. I think, except Suki Waterhouse, like, is so perfect.
And
but I think
Camilla
the main
Marone,
guy...
Camilla Marone was not miscast.
I think the main guy, I think Riley Keough, I think they're all miscast.
I do think Riley Keough was a miscast.
So I also hated the book with the intensity of 10,000 Suns, and I know I'm, like, the only person everyone's like, you didn't like Daisy Jones and the Six? Hated. So I will certainly not be watching, so I don't care. I'm not even feeling, like, let down, you know? I thought maybe if it looked good, maybe I'd watch it, but no.
Yeah. I'm sure it will be good because the story of the book was good and all that jazz. But it's just like the era, the time and place, like because it's based on like Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
It just does nothing for me.
Like the 60s vibe, 70s or whatever it is.
Yeah. Like whatever that.
Groovy.
Groovy. I guess I'm not very groovy.
No, you're not like when I think of like the bell bottom hippie, you know, round glasses, I do not think of you.
And I don't think of you.
No, for you, I definitely think of like the 50s, like, you know, women in like teacup dresses and like bobs, very Brie Van de Kamp. That's the decade I think of when I think of you.
That's so sweet. And when I think of you, I think of Gen Z and how you are really the face of Gen Z.
She's just flattering me, you guys, before the weekend. She wants to butter me up, so I'll come down on her staycation.
When I think of you, I think of the Renaissance.
That's mean.
Because you're... presence has been enlightenment to all.
When I think of the Renaissance, I just think of like honestly exclusively ugly people.
Like, I know I you think of like chubby women.
Yeah, I don't think there was like a beautiful, and that's not, I'm not piggybacking off of what you're saying because you could be chubby and beautiful and starting a new sentence. I just think, like, I don't think there was one beautiful person alive during the Renaissance. I don't know. I have no proof. I've seen pictures and everyone is ugly. Like, and I think the Renaissance was a time of like great, you know, prosperity. But for me, I think of the Renaissance as like dilapidated, broke down. Like, I don't know why.
Well, maybe it's an interesting theory, but maybe they were so ugly because they were working like on their insides and like, you know, thinking about things.
Art, literature,
like not beauty and looks, even though like art encompasses beauty too. But
yeah,
let that set that aside.
We're just like such like gallery girls right now.
We are. Oh my gosh.
Talking about the Renaissance.
I know. It's reminding me of my book.
Oh, sorry. We could change the subject. All right. Well, that is our show, our final show of the week. We are back on Tuesday. Hope everyone has a great long holiday weekend. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast of the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast life stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.